are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Tuesday episode post-game 49ers-Seahawks Monday night contest, and the streak is over. The 49ers are unbeaten no more, falling to the Seahawks at Levi's Stadium 27-24. So we've got game notes and game balls to give out here. The first loss of the season for the 49ers, some fans not feeling great about that, but come on. 8-1 after 10 weeks of the NFL season, I think everybody would have taken that coming into this thing. And maybe you'll feel better about where this team can go after this podcast. You can find this podcast on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, or just head over to LockedOn49ers.com for all of your Niners podcast needs. Where to begin here? Let's start with the bad news. Well, the bad news aside from the final score, the injuries, and there were plenty of them Monday night. Defensive lineman DJ Jones left the game with a groin injury. Wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders left with a rib injury. Weston Ridgeburg had a hand. He left, came back. Jimmy Ward left and came back. Solomon Thomas looked like a head injury. He would leave and come back. Azeez Al-Shaair left and stayed out. He's in concussion protocol. Kawan Williams left for a short time. I see Matt Breida on the injury list. I don't remember when or what happened to him, but he was definitely not on the field at the end of the game. It was a lot of Raheem Mostert in overtime especially, and I don't know where Coleman was at that point either, but Matt Breida listed on the injury list. Coleman is not. And I think that's it. So that's all the injuries that happened Monday. DJ Jones, Emmanuel Sanders, they're going to get MRIs. With Sanders, the rib, that could be, apparently the rib is a better bone to break than another bone because it heals faster. So that's good news. But if it's a broken rib, maybe he could be out 3 to 4 weeks, which would be unfortunate. And Sanders has been, without a doubt, the 49ers' best receiver since showing up. And it looked like he was going to be a heavy part of the game plan Monday night. Deebo Samuel ended up being the most heavily targeted 49ers wide receiver in this game. But with Sanders, the 49ers were 6-0 before he showed up. So when he left the game, the 49ers wide receiver group was the same it was for six straight wins to start this season. So I think if you're going to point to a guy in offense that they are missing more, I think it's George Kittle. I mean, George Kittle's the catalyst to the 49ers offense right now, not only helping in the pass game, opening things up for everybody else, but the run game. He's such a good blocker too, and the 49ers couldn't run the ball either. So as good as Emmanuel Sanders has been since showing up for the 49ers, they won without him. And you definitely would love to have him, and it'll be a blow if the 49ers lose him for a few weeks. But they can still win without Emmanuel Sanders, I think. But yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo needs some help, and he wasn't great in this game. I guess Jimmy Garoppolo is where we should go next here. Let's talk about Garoppolo's game. First quarter, hits Kendrick Bourne on the first third down opportunity after Coleman was stuffed twice in a row to open up that ball game, and Kendrick Bourne had a nice game to start. It didn't end as well for Kendrick Bourne. More on that. Throwing for Goodwin a few times early, missing every time. Marquise Goodwin ended up with 3 targets, 0 catches in that game. And by the way, where did Marquise Goodwin go? He was gone the rest of the game as if he was hurt. I didn't hear about him getting hurt or anything like that. Kendrick Bourne was dropping passes, had a bad penalty too. And Goodwin didn't get back on the field. It's just really curious. The wide receiver usage, just very strange. Dante Pettis, just like Marquise Goodwin, 3 targets, 0 catches in that game. Had one tough one on the sideline. Couldn't hold on to it through contact from the defender. just very strange. The whole passing game was very strange, and maybe they were leaning too much on Emmanuel Sanders, didn't know what to do after he left the game, but multiple drops. Deebo Samuel was the leading receiver for the 49ers. He had a drop. Just was not really clicking in the passing game for the 49ers, and you see how much of the 49ers offense runs off of the run game, and when they're stacking the box and daring you to throw it, and the 49ers can't beat you with a throw, that is a little bit concerning, and I got to believe that's what teams are going to try to do with the 49ers, especially if Emmanuel Sanders is out for a while. It's like, look, okay, go for it. Beat us through the air. We're going to do everything we can to stop the run. So the 49ers will have to learn how to beat that. Now, I don't know if every team's going to have a Clowney that's in Jimmy Garoppolo's face constantly. And you would hope that the offensive line play will get better than it was Monday night, because it was not great. And you have to, it's fair, I think, after seeing their play, and part of it was because Jadeveon Clowney is a monster. But Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey, both just coming back from their injuries, did not have their best games. Did they come back too soon? I don't know. Was Clowney just that good and he would have dominated whoever was in there? Maybe. But Jimmy Garoppolo definitely was under duress for most of that game. There was a crazy throw on the first drive by Jimmy Garoppolo, and it wasn't all bad for the 49ers offense or Jimmy Garoppolo. He had a crazy throw on the first drive, which was really just strange looking. He hit Emmanuel Sanders at the sticks on the left sideline, but he was getting pressured, and the way he just turned and winged it over there, like spun out of the pressure, but still the throw was on target, hitting Sanders. It's really weird. It was just a strange looking throw. I don't know how he got it out of his hands and exactly where he wanted it with that sort of a throw and that motion. Garoppolo can snap off some crazy throws when his legs aren't where you would want them to be in the pocket. He hit Sanders on another slant. Sanders would later take a hit, and I think it was it knocked his helmet off. I was worried about a head injury for Sanders, but I think that's the hit that broke or potentially broke Emmanuel Sanders' ribs, and we'll find out more about that probably later Monday. Lots of man coverage by Seattle in this game. Seattle's usually a huge zone-heavy cover three team, but they were bringing the heat at Garoppolo, playing some man. Other times they were playing zone, obviously, their standard cover three, single high safety, but they were definitely daring Garoppolo to beat him with the throw and really trying hard to stop the run. Second drive of the game was interesting. Deebo Samuel slant, Emmanuel Sanders slant, which I think that was the play he got hurt on and would leave the game. And then a touchdown to Kendrick Bourne, a 10-yard touchdown strike, also on a slant. There was a nice, I think it was basically the only good run of the game for the 49ers. Mostert had a couple of them late, but a 22-yarder from Tevin Coleman in between those slants. And that led to the 49ers' first touchdown. They had a 10-0 lead right there, and you thought, man, okay, this game is going well for the 49ers. They might run away with this thing. Oh, and by the way, shout out to my guy Brian Primetime Smith for the nickname Slant Francisco that he threw out there on Twitter after that drive. I like that one. So third quarter, we're looking at Garoppolo here. The ball goes through Bourne's hands, and this was the beginning of a very difficult game for Bourne. That turned into an interception by Quandre Diggs. There were two sacks on Jimmy Garoppolo that turned into fumbles. So you had the interception, the two fumbles that turned into sacks, or the two sacks that turned into fumbles. That's just too many turnovers. You can't turn the ball over that many times against a good team. So the 49ers beating themselves a little bit, and the drops you can't blame on Garoppolo. The pressure you can't blame on Garoppolo because he's still trying to get the ball out quickly, and the pressure was getting there quickly, especially Jadeveon Clowney, who was just really good in that game. Ball security you can blame on Garoppolo. And just because you're getting sacked or just because you get hit doesn't mean you can just throw the ball on the ground. You got to hold on to the ball. So the fumbles are definitely on Garoppolo. The pressures are not, and the drops are not. So his line doesn't look as bad as it should, but it was still not a great game, I think, for for Jimmy Garoppolo. He was 24 of 46, 248 yards passing. He had the one touchdown, the one interception, and sacked five times. So that's the line from Garoppolo. I have more notes on him, especially when things got into overtime. Notes on the coaching and the clock management that I think was an issue at the end of that game. Multiple takeaways from the Seahawks, offensive, defensive, and we'll give away those game balls at the end of the show. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. Okay, let's talk fourth quarter. Let's go through what the 49ers offense was doing and what Jimmy Garoppolo was doing. And then we'll take a look at what was happening on the other side of the field when Russell Wilson had the ball. I want to start in the fourth quarter with Deebo Samuel. He had a beastly catch and run. He was fired up. This was after he had had a drop earlier in the game. And I just love him. I just love the energy he came out with, and he was like, no, this is not the way it's going to go down, and he was playing his butt off throughout that game, and I love seeing that. I love seeing him come back where you saw some other guys wilt under the pressure, I think, of the game, Kendrick Bourne being one, or, you know, just maybe getting in his head with a couple of drops and penalties, and Deebo did not wilt under that pressure, and I thought that was a pretty good indicator of what kind of a big game player Deebo Samuel can be. I really love that. And maybe we saw his breakout game on Monday night. So fourth quarter, third down, all the time in the world for Jimmy G to throw. He finds Bourne. That was the second drop from Bourne, nearly intercepted. The first Bourne drop was intercepted. Unfortunate, because it was such a great start start of the game for Bourne. But with the drops and the penalties, I was calling for him to basically get benched. It's like, you got to bring Goodwin on the field. You got to bring Richie James on the field. Bring someone who's a playmaker that could make a big play and score for you, that's not going to drop the ball, because Bourne just didn't have it. And I thought he maybe should have been benched, but Kyle Shanahan did not see it that way. The 49ers would have to settle for a field goal. Chase McLaughlin would hit that field goal. At that point, the game was 21-21. So down to the fourth quarter with 1:49 to play, down 3 points after Seattle had kicked another field goal. Jimmy Garoppolo trying a couple times to throw the ball to the Seahawks, and you thought, man, this is how it's going to end. Garoppolo's going to turn it over again. He's going to throw a pick, and it's going to seal the game, and Seattle's going to go down and score and win it. But that is not what happened. There was a near interception. KJ Wright, he's flat dropped it. That one should have been picked off. Garoppolo, second down, misses very badly. But third down, Ziggy Ansah offside call gives him a third and five. He hits Ross Dwelly for 5 yards. First down, and then they're rolling a little bit. Another near interception from Bobby Wagner, who jumps a route and just... It was similar to the one we saw where Luke Kuechly intercepted it, jumping in front of... I think he jumped in front of George Kittle in that play. Just over the middle, the guy's in coverage, and Garoppolo thinks he can kind of get it in there, and the linebackers are just waiting. And when you have a super athletic linebacker, Bobby Wagner, Luke Kuechly, those guys can make plays that other linebackers might not be able to, so you got to be careful there if you're Jimmy Garoppolo. A dump off to Coleman, runs for a first down, under 30 seconds left in the game at this point, a screen to Coleman. They call the timeout. Deebo gets him a little bit closer, and then they clock it for the new kid, the rookie, Chase McLaughlin. And man, that kick was perfect. And when I say perfect, that was completely straight, no wobble, right down the middle. They say split the uprights. This was straight down the post in the middle of the uprights, a 47-yarder. And once he made that kick, I thought, oh man, he's going to make everything, because it was such a big kick and in a big moment. New guy, new team, rookie. And Booger McFarland, when he missed the next kick, said, oh, the moment was too big for him. I was like, that moment wasn't bigger than that moment. No way. That was a pressure cooker, and he nailed it. Sent the game into overtime. Chase McLaughlin, 3 for 3 at that point. On to overtime. And man, it is hard to put away Russell Wilson. You can't let him hang around. And the 49ers did just that. Overtime started with the Seahawks and Russell Wilson with the ball, and the 49ers would get it back. So it was Jimmy's turn. All they had to do is get in a field goal range. A field goal can win it. Raheem Mostert getting the rock with his fresh legs a lot in overtime, and I actually really liked that idea from Shanahan, and I don't know if he was forced to because the other guys were banged up, but he was definitely shot out of a cannon on a couple of those plays, and the run game was working a little bit, enough to get down the field a little bit, but they picked up a 3rd and 6 on a swing route to Mostert. The drive would stall out even though Mostert, this is going to get talked about a lot by 49ers fans, and it was a bad spot. I don't know how they didn't spot it as a first down live, and they went back and watched it, and they showed, obviously, that he wasn't down yet until he crossed the line. Then, and by the way, the safety comes in at the end of the play, helmet first, and spears a dude that's defenseless on the ground. How's that not a penalty, by the way? But bad spot. He had it. He had the first down. But they would not overturn it. Didn't have enough evidence, I guess, whatever. And it was McLaughlin time again. Gets iced, of course, with the timeout, and you saw it. He missed the kick. I thought it was blocked because I don't know how you shank a kick that bad because it made such a hard left turn. It started up toward the line of scrimmage and then just took off straight to the left. So that was a pretty bad shank if it was not blocked, and apparently it wasn't blocked. Rough kick for the rookie. He was asked to do a lot in this game. Ideally, you wouldn't have your rookie kicker that was forced into action this week kick 4 field goals, all of them really meaningful, 2 of them to either win or tie the game. And he hit 3 of 4, so not a bad day. Like, people are crushing this dude. Are you kidding me? 75%, 3 of 4. It's better than what Robbie Gould's kick percentage is this year. It's better than what McLaughlin's percentage was coming into this year, and it got him a job. So 75%, 3 of 4, I'll take that. Unfortunate the 49ers kept putting him in that position. But the 49ers would get the ball back with another opportunity to try to win the game. This time with 1:50 left in overtime and 1 timeout. Last chance for Jimmy G and the 49ers. You thought, of course, okay, great. Look, you can't lose this game now. It's 1:50 on the clock. The Seahawks don't have any timeouts. You're going to march down the field. At worst, you set up another field goal, miss it, and it's a tie, make it, you win it. Or maybe you run down a score, a touchdown. But that is not how it went. The 49ers were only able to run 20 seconds off the clock, 3 pass plays, 3 and out, and they give Russell Wilson 1.5 minutes in overtime to try to finish it off. And we know how that ended. But the 3rd and 10 play was an interesting one because they went to Debo. He was lined up wide on the right side, and he had a step on Shaquille Griffin on a go route down that right sideline. But Garoppolo missed him. It wasn't badly underthrown, but it was underthrown enough. Debo had a step, and that's a play you want to hit because that would have been a huge play. That could have been the game winner. Debo could have housed it, or at least it puts you in field goal position there. Instead, the 49ers punt. So Garoppolo, not a great day, not super sharp. Missed some throws in the 4th quarter. Missed some throws earlier in the game, had some drops, so he was not helped at all, had the 2 fumbles. The pick was not his fault. And when it counted, he did not make the throw he needed to make there on 3rd and 10 when he had a guy open. And that means, of course, you hand the ball over to Russell Wilson. Let's start at the beginning from Russell Wilson because at the beginning of the game, the 49ers defense, and throughout the game, the 49ers defense played a really good football game, man. The Seahawks ran 6 offensive plays in the 1st quarter. 2 3 and outs, that's it. And the 49ers on offense had the ball the rest of the time. Emmanuel Mosley had a really good game. Multiple pass breakups. I think he had 3. He was credited with 3 PBUs in that game and 10 tackles. He was all over the place, playing physical. I loved seeing Mosley play. Mosley has been fantastic for the 49ers. Unbelievable. And I thought maybe Russell Wilson was rattled a little bit. But of course, second half, the 3rd drive for Seattle, he kind of gets things going, hits Metcalf, hits Lockett. And you start to see where, okay, Russell Wilson's not going to get rattled. Maybe you have his number for a few series, but he's not going away. And he definitely did not go away. The little pop shot touchdown pass to Jacob Hollister, that one had to be frustrating for the 49ers. I mean, Russ just plays a frustrating brand of football, getting away, creating time, and then just finding something. And that one, he found a guy, and everyone still was pretty well covered. Richard Sherman came up when he saw him start to scramble out of the pocket a little bit, tried to pressure him, tried to get his hand up from that throw, and he just popped it over the defense just past Jaquaski Tartt's reach, and Jacob Hollister caught the touchdown pass. That put Seattle up for the first time in that game, 14-10, and it was like, oh no, okay, look out, because the 49ers at that point weren't doing much on offense into the second half after they scored that initial 10 points. Ronald Blair, huge play sacking Russell Wilson. And by the way, I didn't mention Ronald Blair in the injury report there at the beginning. Ronald Blair is getting an MRI too. That could be a bad one. People were hugging him apparently in the locker room after the game, and he was on crutches. That's potentially a really bad one for Ronald Blair. He went out a hero though. That was a huge sack he made on Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter. Just such a big play. But the Russ magic, it hit the 49ers. Third and six, found Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, by the way, he only had a couple catches, I think, but both catches, it was like kind of too easy. Or he's just big and fast and smooth and gets open and has good hands. And it's like, man, that's just another weapon that the Seattle Seahawks are going to have. And at that point of the game, when Josh Gordon showed up, you're thinking, well, you know what? The 49ers could really use a Josh Gordon right now, especially after Sanders gets hurt and the way some of the other wide receivers were playing. And I have a feeling Josh Gordon's going to make a nice piece over there on offense, especially now it looks like they might lose Tyler Lockett for a bit. He had a contusion, had to go to the hospital, might have a compound. I don't even know what they were calling it, but it's apparently something that could be serious for Tyler Lockett. You don't love seeing Russell Wilson get the ball in a tie game with 2 minutes left. It was 21-21. That's exactly what happened. The Niners stuffed Carson on a third down, setting up Jason Myers field goal. That put Seattle up 24-21. And of course, we know the 49ers were able to run down and tie the game on that McLaughlin field goal, which brings us to overtime. Okay, geez, this is going long. Condensed version of the Russell Wilson Seattle Seahawks offensive overtime. Some other players I want to highlight and give out some game balls. This podcast is brought to you in part by Peloton. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get up to $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, and $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code Locked On. Don't forget, that's promo code Locked On for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find him online at gregstaxservice.com. By the way, there's some late video evidence. I don't know if it's doctored or what, but it sounds like Geno Smith making the call on the coin toss says plain as day, tails, and then the ref says, okay, heads, and flips it, and it's heads. It's a very strange video. His mouth looks like he says heads, though, so I don't know if it's one of those things where, like the gold and blue dress, where some people hear one thing and other people hear another thing. But the officiating wasn't good either way, but there's some debate now as to whether Geno said heads or tails at the coin toss. And this is where 49ers fans started to develop an ulcer. Eric Armstead sack. You have a 3rd and 16 on the first drive in overtime for Seattle. And then Wilson escapes, because of course he does, right? Finds a Malik Turner, scramble drill type of a play. They get a first down on 3rd and 16. Then he hits Hollister for another first down inside the 20. And it was like, oh, well, this is going to be the game, isn't it? No, it's not going to be the game. The rookie, Dre Greenlaw, huge interception, massive play, play of the game. Like, people were losing their minds on Twitter. People were losing their minds in my household. Leo doesn't even know anything about football yet, and he could tell something was going on. That was such a huge play by Greenlaw. Nice little return out to midfield, by the way. But Hollister on a wheel route, Greenlaw sees it all the way, makes a play on the ball. That was the thing that we were worried about with Dre Greenlaw stepping in for Quan Alexander and his coverage ability. And at least on that play, man, he came up huge. I mean, that's something that you don't expect. The rookie taking the ball away from Russell Wilson, who's driving down the field, who's already in field goal range in overtime. Such a huge play. Unfortunately, the 49ers weren't able to capitalize on it. Russell Wilson gets the ball back a second time in overtime. You're thinking, no way the 49ers can do it again. They pound the ball twice with Chris Carson, 3rd and 2. 2-minute warning of overtime at this point. Russell Wilson looks for DK Metcalf on the left sideline. Emmanuel Mosley comes up massive to break it up and force a punt. And Jimmy Garoppolo would get an opportunity, and the 49ers would have one more shot to win it. And then it was just ridiculous. 20 seconds later, Russell Wilson's third opportunity in overtime with a minute 30 left. 49ers ran only 20 off the clock with their second overtime drive. 3rd and 3, 1:16 on the clock. Wilson escapes because, of course he does, into field goal territory. Chris Carson a few more yards, and the clock would run. They would eventually clock it with 4 seconds left. Jason Myers, 42-yard field goal, just creeps inside the right upright. And the Seahawks would win it as time expired in OT, 27-24. It's about that time. Let's give out some game balls. I think the rest of the players I want to highlight are in game ball territory. And the first one goes to the entire 49ers secondary. These guys came to play. Jacoski Tart getting the headlines because of the takeaway he had on that DK Metcalf screen, which was an amazing play just all around from Metcalf, from Tart. But Mosley, Richard Sherman, Jimmy Ward, those guys were flying around. They were not only covering guys, they were hitting guys. I mean, they came to play. And the 49ers secondary had a lights out game, all of them. So I think they all deserve a game ball. And that Tart play, just another one that made this game so fun. DK Metcalf screen pass, he gets the ball at about the 30-yard line. I mean, he opens a can on the 49ers defense. He runs through and by Dre Greenlaw. He runs through a couple of other DBs, and he's on his way to the end zone, speed and power, and it's like, geez, this guy's a monster. And Tart says, well, you're going to the end zone, and I'm coming with you, but I'm going to take the ball away first. He gets the ball out at about the 2-yard line, and until the Dre Greenlaw interception and until the DeForest Buckner scoop and score, that was the biggest play of the game. And Debo versus DK, the second-round rookies, was a fun matchup. And both those guys really good. I think they're both going to have very good careers, but Debo, at least in the statistical category, won that one. DK, his team got the W, DK Metcalf. 6 catches for 70 yards on 10 targets, and Mosley doing a nice job batting away a few passes that were headed toward DK. I think it was Richard Sherman that had the other one. Deebo Samuel, though, 8 catches for 112 yards on 11 targets. So Deebo wins the head-to-head there in round one, Deebo versus DK in the box score. And we're going to hear a lot from those guys for a long time, playing hopefully for a long time against each other twice a year. Game ball to DeForest Buckner. Not only the big plays, the fumble recovery, the scoop and score, but he was gap sound, which is so important against that team, the way they run the ball, and against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson wasn't escaping through DeForest Buckner's area. Fred Warner, too. I mean, all these game balls are on the defensive side of the ball. Fred Warner, 10 tackles, led the team, forced fumble, sack. He's good in coverage. He forced the fumble that DeForest Buckner picked up and ran with. Jermaine Ifedi, I don't know what the hell Ifedi was thinking. Thinking he was a better athlete than he was, picking it up and tucking it in his arm like he's going to run somewhere with it. DeForest Buckner even like was shaking his head after the game, talking to reporters like, what the hell was that? Yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, Fred Warner, DeForest Buckner, the entire 49ers secondary, the 49ers defense played a really good game. Unfortunately, the 49ers offense could not do enough to get them that W on Monday night. Jadeveon Clowney, by the way, Russell Wilson, not going to give a Seahawk a game ball, but they deserve the honorable mention category. Jadeveon Clowney's final line, he had the strip sack, he had another scoop, he had 5 quarterback hits, the sack, a forced fumble, fumble recovery, and a touchdown. So Jadeveon Clowney definitely filled up the stat sheet. Tough return for both Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey. I hope they settle down next week against the Cardinals. Short turnaround, 6 days. That'll be Sunday. More about this game and more looking ahead as well all week long right here, Locked On 49ers.